Hello, and thank you for joining me. My name is Matthew Minona, and if you're tuning into this program, you probably already know what this program is all about. And if you don't, we're all about the Bible. And what we do is we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, and we do it because we believe that this is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God, not only for the work God has set out for us, but the entirety of God's counsel, all of His Word, is the way we equip ourselves and prepare ourselves to handle all of the trials, all of the evil and wickedness of this world. And we can do it with grace, and we can do it with kindness, and we do it with strength and with authority. And that's what the Word of God does for us. And so, my name is Matthew Minona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. You may have seen us or heard of us, or maybe you come down and have let us work on your car before. But we're a hand car wash. We're located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. We're right there in the Powell Shopping Center, and there we do all of our washing by hand, and that's how we earn the money to support this business. And we also use the money that we earn to support this ministry. We never ask for donations or tithes. Our goal and our motto here is that we want to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. So if you believe that the entire counsel of God's Word, if you believe verse-by-verse Bible teaching is not only necessary, but it's vitally important, then support this ministry by coming by, letting us work on your vehicle. And that is, again, how we keep this ministry alive. We ask your support in joining us on Sunday nights at Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road. At 6 p.m. is when I do my verse-by-verse Bible teaching there at Abundant Life Fellowship. Again, that's 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. And if you come by the parking lot here at the Wash and Word, tune your radio to 107.1 FM. We do verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And these messages you hear at 8:30 in the morning on WMCH, Monday through Friday, we air them on a loop on a small radio transmitter. And if you tune your radio to 107.1 FM anywhere in the parking lot area, you don't even have to be getting your car washed, you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We want this parking lot to be known as a place where you can come and hear God's Word, to hear a message from the Lord any single time during the week that you might need it. So if it's 3 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon and you want to hear a word from God, come by the parking lot, tune to 107.1 FM. Let's see what God has to say. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to get back into His Word. We're finishing up the book of 1 Corinthians over the next couple of teachings. We are in chapter 15. And today we're going to embark on one of the greatest subjects. Let's go as far as to say the greatest subject in all of the Bible, and that, of course, being the resurrection. Now, we've already looked at the entire chapter 15 is dealing with the resurrection. In the first section of chapter 15, we talked extensively about the resurrection of Christ. And if you've missed any of these teachings, I invite you to go to our website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can download and listen to for free all of our archive messages. So if you've missed any of them, or you want to catch up, or you want to hear any of our old teachings, again, for free, go to washandword.com, and we have our messages there. So we already covered resurrection of Christ, and then in the last few teachings, we covered the resurrection of the dead. Now we're going to be talking about the resurrection of the body. One of the most frequently asked questions in and out of Christianity is found in verse 35 of chapter 15. And it reads, "But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body will they come?" And we'll stop there, but this is a question that's asked. Like, people want to know what we're going to look like, what we're going to be able to do, what kind of body we're going to have after the resurrection. We are all very curious about our resurrected bodies. What will they look like? What will they be capable of doing? Will we eat? That's an important one. Will we sleep? Are we just going to float around and fly? Or will we actually walk? Will we still be playing instruments? Will we be, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to play sports? And, you know, and someone asking this question would appear to do so at times with a measure of skepticism. Oh, yeah, well, sure, we're going to be resurrected, but what? What are we going to be able to do, huh? You know, and there's kind of a almost a mocking tone often when this question is being posed. There's not a genuine inquiry. A lot of times people do it in a mocking kind of way. And this is evidenced by the reaction or response that Paul gives in verse 36. His first words are, "How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies." And so, in response to the hypothetical question that he poses, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come? He says, that's foolishness. He says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And so he's saying, like, why are you even focused on that? The focus isn't about how or what we're going to look like. And we also saw that in verse 12 of this chapter where Paul says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" And so he's saying that this isn't something you should even be questioning anymore. This is a part of Christians, the central theme of Christianity. Why are you still, even thinking about this kind of thing? And much of the skepticism and the diatribe that he often writes with stems from misunderstanding. And that alone gives us a clue to our bodies. You see, a lot of people were questioning, well, what happens during cremation? How can we have a resurrected body if our bodies are cremated? What if it's lost at sea and gets eaten by sharks or torn apart by animals? What if we are in an explosion and our body completely explodes? How are we going to have a resurrected body if there's no body left? And so again, here's one of the clues he gives us when he says that what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You see, our new bodies will not be identified with or connected to our present bodies. We need to understand that. Our new bodies, our resurrected bodies, the ones that we're going to get, they will not be identified with or connected to our present bodies as they are right now. And for some of us, that's a big hallelujah and an amen, isn't it? I mean, I hope I have a much better body than the one I'm struggling with right now. And so, you know, this might seem like an obvious statement. Well, of course our bodies are going to be different in the age to come. But many mainstream religions teach otherwise. You know, Hindu, in their one of their main teachings is reincarnation, and it's attached very closely to the current body that they reside in and what they do in that body. New Age, the New Age religion or mentality states that we are evolving into our own gods. We are transforming the existing body into something greater, more spiritual, more supernatural than the body we have now, but it's directly tied into the current body that we live in. Even Mormons believe that we were once spirit beings that came to earth, and we are now trapped in these human bodies awaiting our spiritual release back to our spirit being. And so a lot of mainstream religions connect the body that is present, that we have now, with the afterlife body. But Paul says, no, it has nothing to do with that. Our new bodies will not be identified with or connected to in any way, shape, or form the present body that we have now. But verse 35 does sound like a legitimate question. Well, how are the dead raised? And really, what kind of body will they come? You know, this isn't a question that's always asked derogatorily or mockingly. Genuine Christians have asked, I myself have even asked, what are we going to look like when that body is given to us? And so we see a clue to that, and we read on in verse 37, when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed He gives its own body. And so we'll stop right there in verse 38. But we see a sort of a clue as to what God does with this body versus our resurrected body. Paul says, look, it doesn't matter what seed you plant in the ground. You can plant an apple seed or a mustard seed or a whole pit from a peach. Seeds vary in different sizes and color and shape, but what they turn into looks absolutely nothing like the seed that was put in the ground. It turns into a plant or a tree. It doesn't turn into a seed. The only way it looks like the seed that you put in the ground is if it grows up, matures, blossoms, produces its own seed, and then has to die. And then it becomes a completely different thing. It becomes that seed again. And that's what he's saying here. The reason Paul branded the question foolish in verse 36, how foolish, he says, for you to think like that. And, you know, when we ask this question, what are our resurrected bodies going to look like? Doesn't sound like a foolish question to us, does it? It sounds like a genuine, I mean, it seems like a normal enough question. What are our resurrected bodies going to look like? We have a right to maybe not know, because the deeper things of God were not meant for us to understand, but we certainly have a right to be inquisitive about it. But why does Paul be so harsh? It has to be so harsh about it. How foolish that you would ask such a question. But if one would just use their common sense, one would see really how foolish the question is. Listen, nothing that lives after death has the same body. And so I might say, well, I guess you're right, Paul. How dumb of me. A kernel of corn that comes out of the ground is really totally different than the kernel of corn that we plant in the ground. And so Paul uses, as we just read, the main example of a seed. But it goes for other living things, like a butterfly who the caterpillar turns into a chrysalis and then becomes a butterfly. It's a completely different creature outside of its death, one so to speak. And so nature teaches us two obvious things about the resurrection. Number one, death is a part of it. And number two, what emerges is not identical to what died. And so based on these obvious and well-known examples, Paul deems the inquiry a foolish one. He says, look around. Seeds aren't the same thing when they grow. Caterpillar isn't the same thing that dies and comes back as a butterfly. And so why would you even ask the question, if our bodies are blown up or eaten by sharks or whatever, how are we going to get resurrected if we have no body? He's saying, look around at nature. It's a completely different thing altogether. Acts 26:8 says, why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? So Paul pays little credence to the question of a resurrection, but now he's going to move on to those who accept this resurrection, but still might be considered a retractor because they want to know what kind of body are we going to be raised with. And again, we ask that question. We have an inquisitive mind to want to know. And Paul goes on to say that even the living are differentiated by the flesh that they embody. In verse 39, and this will be the last thing we read in our teaching today, Paul says, all flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish yet another. And so the fact of resurrection is laid forth. He says, it's a fact. Why do you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? And so now he's going to deal with what type of body, admittedly a new body, but what type of body will it be? Well, there's a natural example, which we just looked at, but there's also an astrological example. And that's what Paul's going to look at in verses 40, but you'll have to come back tomorrow because we're just about out of time. So come back and join me here at 8:30 on WMCH. Remember, come to the Wash and Word. You don't even have to get your car washed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the parking lot, whether you're by the library or Holston Medical Group or the fitness center, or maybe you just got some pals dinner and you're in the parking lot eating your lunch. Tune to 107.1 FM 24/7 to hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Friends, this world needs more of the Word of God, and that's what we're doing here at the Wash and Word. Well, we hope to see you. Come on by Sunday night to Abundant Life Fellowship at 6 p.m. Have a blessed day.